Good Friday. This is the day we observe the great sacrifice that our Lord made for us by willingly going to the cross. It wasn't his own people that nailed him to the cross. It wasn't the Romans that nailed him to the cross. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. And it was his great love for us that sent him to the cross and kept him on the cross. We are born in a fantastic time in that we have the entire Word of God translated for us, where we can read about Jesus' crucifixion and all that he endured for us. We have four accounts of what happened on the night he was betrayed by one of his own disciples, arrested, beaten beyond recognition, mocked, had a crown of thorns shoved onto his head, and then beaten in the head with rods. He had his back torn apart with a whip that was known as a cat of nine tails. And the reason for it is that it had nine ends on it, and each end of that had shards of glass and bone tied to those ends. It was specifically crafted to rip as much flesh as possible. This wasn't even the end. Jesus knew it, and everyone else knew it. He had already been condemned to death by crucifixion. So after all of this, Jesus was forced to drag his own cross up the hill to a crucifixion spot named Golgotha. There, Jesus had three railroad spikes driven with a hammer through his wrists and feet. He agonized up there while people threw insults at him, while he was heaving himself up to just draw each breath. Finally, Jesus declared, "It is finished," and died. Imagine being one of Jesus' disciples, especially Peter, watching who is supposed to be the prophesied deliverer being tortured. Imagine being John as he stood at the foot of the cross looking up at Jesus. What had they missed? It wasn't supposed to be this way, right? Throughout all of Scripture, there's quite a bit of description of what will happen in the apocalyptic end times of this world. And as we look around us at how things are unfolding all around us, we can see that all of these prophecies are very likely to happen soon. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus gave an apocalyptic message about his return. And coincidentally, it's the very last message we have from Jesus before he and his disciples celebrate their last Passover meal together. The night that Jesus would be betrayed, arrested, and start heading towards the cross. Jesus said in his last recorded message in Luke, before the Last Supper, in Luke 21, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great authority. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift your heads. Why? Because your redemption is drawing near. See, the disciples liked those words. Because surely if anyone was going to be on the right side of that, it would be them. When Jesus was arrested, however, all remembrance of those words went right out the window. They hadn't connected all the dots that a first kind of redemption needed to take place. And here's the thing, too. At the Last Supper, Jesus again referred to the fact that he would be dying soon, but that that was not going to be the end of the story. Someday, what Jesus referred to in Luke 21 will take place when he fully returns as the king. In fact, the whole point that Jesus was getting at during his last Passover with his disciples was his death and his return. He told his disciples in verses 15 and 16 of chapter 22, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." That may have caused some confusion among the disciples, because I wonder how many of them still refused to believe that Jesus would die. Passover was one of the three required Jewish feasts in keeping the Jewish law. How on earth could Jesus say that he wouldn't eat it with them again, and for how long? Until the Jewish feast of Passover was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What does that even mean? However, Jesus could not have been any clearer when he broke the bread, declared that it represented his body that would be broken for them. Then Jesus took the communal cup of wine and declared that it represented his blood. Something was going to happen, and that thing needed to happen. Why did that something need to happen? Because his blood that would be spilled would institute a whole new covenant in fulfilling the old covenant between God and mankind. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 22:20, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The disciples did not connect the dots. Even though Jesus gave several references while he ministered with them for 3 years, including the references at the Last Supper, they still didn't get that he would have to suffer and he would have to die, but that he would be resurrected from the dead and return back to earth someday. Even that night, the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about when he said that he would be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, one of them that had been with them all these 3 years. At that very moment, the Apostle John records for us in John 13:28, none of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Even after it was reported to the disciples 3 days later that Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb, in Mark 16:10-11, she went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Eventually, the disciples did understand everything that Jesus had said to them about his impending death, about his resurrection, and about his return. Like I said at the beginning of this message, we have the privilege of having the whole Word of God to read and make who we are. We have the passages of Scripture that refer to this Last Supper, in which we have the words in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." See, the story's still not done yet. He's still coming back for us. On this Good Friday, as we remember all that Jesus suffered, all that Jesus endured, all that Jesus paid on our behalf for us because of our sin, let us remember that it's Friday today, and it's good because he paid the debt for our sin. But what's coming? Sunday's coming. Bright light will shine forth, the stone will be hurled away, and Jesus will burst out of the tomb victorious over death and sin and Satan and his kingdom. There will be a day where he will return for us. In the meantime, if you have not repented of your sins and taken him as Savior and King, do so right now. There is no more important decision you could ever make in your entire life. You have no clue, not to be morbid, but you have no clue what could happen to you 5 minutes from now. You have no clue what happens to you when you walk out these doors, and then it's too late. If you've never come to Jesus in prayer and said, "Thank you for taking my place on the cross, I repent of my sins. I know they are what separate me from you. I know you died for them. I know you paid the price for them, for me, so I could be forgiven of them. I repent of them. I give my life to you. I take you as my Savior, and I take you as the King over the rest of my life." If you've never done that, do that right now. And as we partake in Holy Communion this evening, our observation of our Lord's Last Supper, the night he was betrayed and headed to the cross, and following Paul's instruction by way of the Holy Spirit to continue to observe that until Jesus returns, we need to ask ourselves the question, have we connected the dots? Do we get it? Maybe you came here tonight because you thought it was the right thing to do, or you wanted to check it out, you saw our sign on the corner, the banner on the fence here, but you haven't made Jesus your Savior and King yet. The whole reason he came to earth, this whole reason he went through all the suffering he went through, receive the new life that Jesus offers to you tonight through his death and resurrection. New life in the here and now, and new life for eternity when we die. Recognize that your sin prevents you from being restored to most holy God. You may think you're a good person. Guess what God's word says? You're not. Nobody is. Nobody in this room, including the guy behind the pulpit, is. We needed a Savior to die for our sins and take our place. You will not automatically get into heaven. You will not automatically get into heaven just based on how good you think you are, how many good things you think you can do. It doesn't work that way. You have to take Jesus' blood. You have to take Jesus' sacrifice. You have to repent of your sins. You have to make him King. Accept that Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection is enough. You don't need to do any more things. You don't need to go running around trying to check off all the boxes to try to earn your way to heaven. Accept that Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection is enough. It's all it takes. It doesn't take perfection. It doesn't take enough good works, which is impossible for any human to fulfill anyways. All we need to do is repent of our sin, turn away from it, and ask God for his forgiveness based on Jesus' payment on our behalf. And then receive God's forgiveness for your sins through your acceptance of Jesus' payment on your behalf. And receive all of who God is. His healing, his power, his provision, his fathership in your life, his protection. All of these things, all of who God is. And his kingship over your life. And at the end, guess what? God's word promises. You are assured you will experience all of God's goodness for eternity. Maybe you've made that decision years ago and you came here tonight because it's habit. It's just what you're supposed to do on Good Friday. It's Good Friday, so you go to the Good Friday service. We celebrate communion just like we do every Good Friday. We partake in the elements, that which represent Jesus' broken body and that which represents Jesus' spilled blood, just like every other time we come to the Lord's table. We see it as just some tired, same old thing we do every year, and really every first Sunday of the month. Tonight, break away from that. Instead, tonight, connect the dots. Connect the dots. Relive in your mind all that Jesus went through for you. The greatest sacrifice anyone could have ever made for you. The greatest act of love that anyone could have shown to you. Recognize and revel in the love that God has for you. Worship Him for all the healing and provision and guidance He's given to you since the last time we gathered on Good Friday. And renew your commitment to following Him as King. On that note, before I invite the men up to pass out that which represents the body and blood of Jesus, I want us all to take a moment. To get anything right, we do need to get right with God at this time. And as we are doing so, I'd like to invite the men forward to be ready to pass out the elements.